This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله الذي جعل الدين مراتب ودرجات وصير للعلم به أصولا ومهمات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله حقا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Inshallah ta'ala, brothers and sisters, in this segment, I will be discussing some of the characteristics of the awliya'illah. Some of the characteristics of the awliya'illah, and some things that if you were to find this present in an individual, this person wouldn't be from the awliya'illah. Al-awliya, brothers and sisters, what this awliya means is jam'u waliyin. Firstly, it is the plural of the singular word that is wali. وهو من الولاية, comes from the word ولاية. والولاية, brothers and sisters, ضد العداوة. It is the opposite of enmity. So وأصل الولاية والمحبة. So the origin of this word الولاية, it is المحبة, it is love والقرب, and also closeness. وأصل العداوة البغض والبعد. And the أصل of the word عداوة, it is بعد, to be far away and hatred. And it's also been said, وَقَدْ قِيلَ إِنَّ الْوَلِيَّ سُمِّيَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ مُوَالَاتِهِ لِلطَّاعَاتِ. He was called a wali because of his wilayah, the fact that he gave, or he had, he was somebody who used to have a lot of ta'at. كان يوالي الطاعات. He used to have an alignment towards the ta'at. أي متابعته لها, because he used to follow it. This is something that the scholars mentioned. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned what I just mentioned in his kitab al-Furqan. There's a kitab called al-Furqan between awliya al-Rahman and awliya al-Shaytan. And then also what the Shaykh spoke about in this segment, or when he was speaking about the fifth fundamental, the munafiqeen and the fujjar. The ta'rif, the definition of al-nifaq, brothers and sisters, as Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, النفاق اختلاف السر والعلانية. نفاق, hypocrisy, is to have something inwardly and then to show something else outwardly. والقول والعمل, he says something with his tongue but then his action shows otherwise. والمدخل والأخرج, his entrance and the where he exits is completely different. أنا الفجار, brothers and sisters, as Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of the hadith, أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا ومن كانت فيه خصة منهن كانت فيه خصة من النفاق. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking about the characteristics of the people of al-nifaq. When he reached the stage where إذا خاصم فجر, when the proofs are brought to him to show him that he's wrong, he gets angry. These are from the characteristics of the nifaq. Fajra is the root letters of al-fujur. And what al-fujur means, brother, say, يَخْرُجُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ عَمْدًا. He leaves the truth purposefully, intentionally. حَتَّى يَصِيرَ الْحَقُّ بَاطِلًا وَالْبَاطِلُ حَقًّا. Until the haq becomes batil and the batil becomes haq. So these are all characteristics that I'm mentioning, that if found, this is not from awliya illahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now standing over the first verse that the Shaykh mentioned, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah Azza wa Jal tells the messenger to say, if you really trust Allah Azza wa Jal, then follow me. What will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal will love you. Brothers and sisters, this ayah is called Ayatul Mihna. The verse that was there as an examination, the verse of examination. This verse examines the true person who really loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True love, this is the examination for it. Sometimes your wife, especially if the guy is known to be somebody who cheats or goes behind the back, she's going to try and examine her, right? She sends somebody to maybe offer herself to this person. Is he going to cheat on her? Is he not going to cheat on her? To really see if this person, and then get someone to record it. Somebody to record it, to really see if this person is loyal and trustworthy. If he turns away from her, this guy passed the test. If he doesn't turn away from her, he's failed the test. And then she knows if this person is loyal, she either stays or leaves with him. And you find within this ayah, brothers and sisters, ayatul mihna. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he commented. Because a lot of people, they get emotional, right? Oh, you don't love him, we love him. The reason why you don't love him, because you don't celebrate Mawlid, the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan al-Basri, he commented on this hadith, this verse, he said, Za'amu. Who is Hassan al-Basri again? Are you right, akhi? Are you 100%? Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is from the most tremendous of the tabi'een, he says, Za'amu. Some people claimed, أنهم يحبون الله ورسوله فابتلأهم الله بهذه الآية. Some people claimed that they loved Allah and His Messenger. So he examined them with this verse. The true person who really loves Allah, the true love is what? تعصي الإله وتزعم حبه لعمرك في ال لعمرك إنه في ال something بشنيع لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحبه مطيع. The poet, he mentions, you claim to love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you disobey him. If your love was really true, you would have obeyed him. لو كان حبك صادقا لأطعت إن المحب لمن يحبه مطيعه. The one who loves something is going to run after it. Like the guy who wants to get married to a sister. I remember Sheikh Falah Ismail when he came to the masjid, some of you may remember, he gave an example of Romeo and Juliet. When he's talking about the true love and so on and so forth, kids are laughing. Romeo and Juliet, huh? Those who are sitting in the corner. You know Romeo and Juliet? How old are you? 8. And they're teaching you Romeo and Juliet in the school? No. Huh? So how did you know? So Romeo and Juliet, Sheikh was saying, oh, Romeo comes and he starts kissing the wall because Juliet is inside it. He is ready to go lengths in order to get hold of what? Juliet. This is the true love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You really love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not just a claim. He claims, أَنَا أُحِبُّ. Then prove it. When the wife begins to think or see that her husband doesn't love her, she says to him, prove it, right? You always say with your tongue, you love me, and it doesn't show with your actions. And then he says, yeah, that's true. Prove it with your limbs. Show us through action that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger. Every step that you take, let it be how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took it, and every move that you make. Also, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, لَيْسَ الشَّأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّهُ. The affair isn't that you love. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّأْنَ كُلَّ الشَّأْنِ أَن تُحَبَّهُ. But rather, the true reality is that you are loved. That you are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can this take place when everything that you do is in accordance to what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned? Rather, brothers and sisters, some of us might claim we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, but what are we becoming? We are becoming close friends of the shaitan. I mentioned this yesterday as well. How do you become the friend of a shaitan? Abdullah mentioned a verse as well. How do you become the friend of a shaitan? Rais. Muhammad. How do you become the friend of a shaitan? Allahu A'lam. Half of knowledge, right? Someone else say Allahu A'lam so we get full knowledge. How do you become the friend of the shaitan? Huh? Follow his footsteps, that's one. But I mentioned a verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. The shaitan only has authority over those who befriend him and those who commit shirk. You commit shirk, you're becoming the best friend of shaitan. Bid'ah, you're becoming a good friend as well. The ma'asi,
This is how you have become the friend of the shaitan. How do you do tawalli of the shaitan? Tatawalla shaitan? What do you do? You start doing the things that he likes. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ يُشْرِكُونَ Those who befriend him by doing the things that he likes. Ma'asi, fawahish, zina, girlfriend, boyfriend, and so on and so forth. And bid'ah. A guy thinks he's getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love the messenger, so I'm going to celebrate. I love the messenger, so I'm going to ask him. You just committed shirk. You become the best friend of the shaitan. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَلَا يَكُونُ وَلِيًّا لِلَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ A person won't become the wali of Allah subhanahu until he believes in him. وَبِمَا جَاءَ بِهِ And also with the things that the Prophet came with. وَاتَّبَعَهُ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا And he follows him inwardly and externally. وَمَنْ اِدَّعَى مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ وَوِلَايَتُهُ وَهُوَ لَمْ يَتَّبِعْهُ Whoever now claims the love of the Messenger of Allah, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to be from his awliya, from his saints and those who are close to him, but then he didn't follow him, فَلَيْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ This person is not from the awliya. بَلْ مَنْ خَالَفُ كَانَ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ وَأَوْلِيَاءِ الشَّيْطَانِ But rather, if you go against the Messenger from the things that he told you to do, you have become from the awliya, the friends of the shaitan, those who are very close to the shaitan. One of the ways to be a close member of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Connecting yourself to the Qur'an. If a guy doesn't open the Qur'an, doesn't act upon the Qur'an, هذا الرجل من أولياء الله سبحانه وتعالى or he's committing bid'ah, the moment brother a person commits bid'ah, this person is definitely not from the scholars. And it's definitely not from the awliya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أَهْلِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has people that are very special to him, close to him. من هم يا رسول الله؟ Who are these people يا رسول الله؟ هم أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته They are the people of Quran. They are the people who are close and specific to Allah and special to Him. I've mentioned a number of characteristics now. Can everybody tell me? Huh? If you want to be from the awliya, what do you need to do? Huh? Huh? Stay away from the things that the shaitan likes. Also, what did I mention about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You have to follow him. Good. You have to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his footsteps. What he done? I'm going to move on to other characteristics as well. What else did I mention of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah? What did he just mention? Man amana bihi, whoever believes in Allah azza wa jalla and the things that he came with. But later on, we're going to touch on that as well. And there's a verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you have believed. Man yartadda minkum an deene. Whoever of you should revert from his religion. Whoever leaves the fold of Islam. Fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbuna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring people in his place. Allah is not in need of you. Whether you accept Islam or not, Allah doesn't need you. You apostate, you don't come with the ta'at, Allah will bring people that will take your place. بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ People that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and they will love him. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ They are, what do? They are very humble, very lowly towards the believers. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ And mighty towards the disbelievers. So three conditions here were mentioned in this verse. الشرط الأول يحبهم الله وهم يحبونه Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them and they love him. And we already talked about how to truly love Allah azza wa jal and how he's going to love you. لأن الولاية تضمن المحبة because in الولاية you find that it consists of محبة. شرط الثاني. Second condition, another characteristic. يذلون على المؤمنين فالمؤمنون محبوبون إلى الله. Anything or any person that Allah loves, they are humble and lowly towards him. فمن أحب الله فليحبهم وليحترمهم. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, then this person should be respectful. And he should love him as well. الشرط الثالث, the third condition, عزيزون على الكافرين. They are mighty towards disbelievers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hates kufr, right? فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ فَلْيَبْغُضْ مَنْ يَبْغُضُ اللَّهَ. Whoever loves Allah, then he should love what Allah loves and hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates kufr and his people. Does that mean, before somebody takes the wrong context, every time I walk out of my house and I see my kafir neighbor, I frown in his face or I throw tomatoes at him because I hate what he does and I hate what he believes in? Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be nice. He had nice etiquette and manners. He used to try and call them to al-Islam. And the proof of this is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and visited that Yahudi, that child. He visited him in his home. He never just said, oh, he's a kafir. He's a Jew. I'm not going to go visit him. I have enough people to concentrate on. Whether he dies or not, got nothing to do with that. And also what we learn from it, had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in his home in a very rough and tough manner, do you think the father of this kid would have allowed him to stay there? He would have kicked him out, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there. He said to him, Aslim, embrace al-Islam in a very nice way. The father of this child turns out, who's a Jew himself, yeah? He says, Ati' Abul Qasim. Obey Abul Qasim. Another proof, it shows you that these Jews, they knew that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon the truth. He told them to accept it. الشرط الرابع, the fourth condition I was mentioning in this verse, ولا يخافون في الله لومة لائم. They don't fear the blame of the blamers. They don't fear the blame of the blamers. Them calling to the truth, they don't care as to whether that person wants to stab them later on or wants to maybe get angry. They know that this is the truth and he tries to call to it بالتي أحسن. That doesn't mean a person, he just goes on a mad one and he starts showing عنف, toughness and hatred, and doesn't care about what the people's situation becomes. No, but obviously you need to be very hakeem, very wise in the way you go about. You call to the truth, there's every time it has a place in its time. But then what the people are going to say about you calling to the truth, you shouldn't give two hoots about it and not care about what these people say. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَمْنَعَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ هَيْبَةُ النَّاسِ يَقُولَ فِي حَقٍ إِذَا رَأَهُ سَمِعُ شَهِدَهُ. Don't let the fear of the people stop you from speaking the truth when you see it, witness it, or when you hear it. Go and speak the truth. People get upset, they are bound to get upset. Didn't they get upset with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And they drove him out of his home. The other verse that was mentioned is, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. For indeed, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, don't have any fear for them, and do not be sad. They are those who آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They have iman, and they also have taqwa. What is al-iman? Al-imanu qawlun wa'amalu wa'atiqad. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَكَانَ الْإِجْمَاعُ مِنَ الصَّحَابِ وَالتَّابِعِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ وَمَنْ أَدْرَكْنَاهُمْ يَقُولُونَ الْإِيمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَنِيَّةٌ لَا يُجْزِئُ وَاحِدٌ مِنَ الثَّلَاثِ إِلَّا بِالْآخَرِ. The iman is speech, and it's also action, and it's also what? Niyyah, i'tiqad. That one has a belief, he says it with his tongue, and he also acts upon it. If I just say لا إله إلا الله and I don't believe it, what does that make me? Huh? With iman, you need these three components. You need to say it with your tongue, you need to act upon what you just mentioned with your tongue, and you also what? Believe it. If I say la ilaha illallah with my tongue now and I don't believe it, but I still act upon it, I go and pray, I say to everyone, La ilaha illallah, but I don't believe it, what does that make me? Munafiq. The munafiq was like that. They, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We swear that you, La ilaha illallah, you are the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal. They used to come to the prayer. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us about them in the Quran. إن المنافقين يخادعوا وخادعهم إذا قاموا إلى صلاة قاموا كسالى. They used to come just to show the people. So you need to say it with your tongue, لا إله إلا الله, and say the iman with your tongue, act upon it on your limbs, and also believe in your heart. If I just say, and I don't act upon anything, and I believe as well, what does that make me? I say with my tongue and I believe it as well, but I don't do any action. هذا إرجاء. It's a type of bid'ah. I just say with my tongue and I don't do any action. It could lead to al-kufr. It could lead to al-kufr. Me saying with my tongue and then what? Believing and not doing any actions. What about if I just have a belief, but I don't say it? I believe that la ilaha illallah, but I don't utter with my tongue. And I don't act upon it. Does that, is that sufficient to make me into a Muslim? No, you have to utter with your tongue. And the hadith is الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة أعلاها قول لا إله إلا وأدناها إماتة الأذى من الطريق. The three components were mentioned in this hadith. What is taqwa? We hear taqwa about it all the time. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. All the time we hear about taqwa. Does anybody know what taqwa means? Fear. Who said that? Fear. Anybody else? Fear, hope? Fear, hope, and love. Anybody else? God consciousness. The brother you mentioned in the English dictionary, they say God consciousness. Good. Anything else? All of these meanings that you mentioned, يعني it goes under the meaning of a taqwa. Just to say khawf, to say khawf, it is just fear. هذا ليس بصحيح. This is not correct. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, when he was asked about taqwa, he said أن يطاع فلا يعصى ويذكر فلا ينسى وأن يشكر فلا يكفر. That he is يعني obeyed, Allah عز وجل is obeyed and he is not disobeyed. He is remembered and he is not forgotten. He is thanked and he is not to be ungrateful with. The Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala Abu Huraira. These are all very mutaqarib, yani meanings are very close to one another. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is one of the closest ones, he says, وَأَصْلُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْعَبْدُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَافُ وَيَحْذَرُهُ وَيَقَايَةً تَقِيُّ مِنْهُ. That the asal of a taqwa, the origin of a taqwa, is that the servant, he places a barrier between that which he fears and himself. When I go out for war and I'm fighting, what do I carry? I carry a shield, right? Huh? Abdullah, I carry a shield. Or do I go in like that, showing my chest? Because I'm a big guy. Huh? I've got a shield, right? To protect myself from the thing that I fear. And this is exactly what taqwa is. فتقوى العبد لربه أن يجعل بينه وبين ما يخشاه من ربه من غضبه وسخطه وعقابه وقاية تقي من ذلك. And the servant, the way he has a taqwa and the way he places that barrier, that shield, is that he places that shield between himself and the anger, the rage of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this shield? Do I place a shield like that and I stand like that with Allah Azza wa Jal? Because I'm scared of his rage and the shield is going to protect me? No. This shield, brothers and sisters, is fi'lu ta'ati wa ijtinabu al-manhiyat. To do what Allah subhanahu told you to do and to stay away from the sins. That, you know, you're God conscious, as the brother mentioned. You're God conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, Allah, I don't like using this word God, because asma'ullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every name of Allah, you can take a sifa, an attribute from it. And as for God, what's the sifa that we can take from it? Godawiyya? No, there's no sifa for it. Ashahidu min al-kalam, that you are God conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal all the time. You are fearing Him, conscious of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. What is al-ihsan? An ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarah. That you worship Allah as if you can see Him. Fa'in lam takun tarah fa'innahu yarak. And if you can't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can see you. While you are at night, under your blanket, you have your laptop or your iPad, and you're about to watch filthy stuff, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is watching you. And that He is aware of your situation. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is one of the best, mashallah. Someone asked Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala عن التقوى. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, he said to him, هل أخذت طريقا ذا شوك? Have you ever taken a path which has many, many thorns? So Abu Hurairah said to him, have you taken this path? He goes, yes. So Abu Hurairah responded back and he said to him, فكيف صنعت? What did you do? He said, إذا رأيت الشوك عزلت عنه أو جاوزته أو قصرت عنه. Every time I see a thorn, I try to move away. I try to be careful. Try to go over it. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, ذاك التقوى. This is taqwa. All these shahawat. You walk into town, you find all sorts of shahawat, right? You find it's very easy to go and pick up that girl. It's very easy to walk into the pub. It's very easy to walk into the gambling shop. All the shahawat around, and this is what the Prophet told us. He said, حُفَّتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. The Jannah has been surrounded with things that are desirable. Shahawat. It's been surrounded with shahawat. You don't think it's just going to be an easy ride to get to Al-Jannah. Shaitan's going to whisper. Desires are going to be there. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? So, هذا وتقوى ذات. These thorns that a person takes in a path, these, he tries to move away from it. And the sins and everything, he tries to stay away from it. In تحفة الحودية, العلامة عبد الرحمن المبارك فوري رحمه الله تعالى, when he talked about اتق الله, you know, sometimes the guy comes and says, اتق الله. Do you know what that actually truly means? Huh? Fear God. Anything else? Fear. Fear Allah. اتق الله, brothers and sisters, as the Sheikh he mentioned, it's الاتيان بجميع الواجبات والانتهاء عن سائر المنكرات. The next time when a person says اتق الله, ask him, what does it mean? This means, brothers and sisters, to come with all the wajibat and to stay away from everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to stay away from. فَإِنَّ التَّقْوَى أَسَاسُ الدِّينِ وَبِهِ يَرْتَقِي إِلَى مَرَاتِبَ الْيَقِينِ. Taqwa is the foundation of your religion. And through it a person will reach great new heights. He will reach great new heights until he reaches certainty in the religion. By the way, yaqeen isn't, as maybe some Sufi people they say, once you reach yaqeen, you can sit at the back of the masjid and you don't need to engage in a salawat. La. Yaqeen in the Quran, when Allah said, وَعْبُدَ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ, until death comes to you. Until death comes to you. Worship Allah Azza wa Jalla until death comes to you. You don't just think to yourself, خلاص, I've become a wali, and it becomes deluded. To become مغتر ببعض ما تأتي به is halak. To become deluded, oh no, I've prayed, you know, 84 years on Laylatul Qadr, I was there, I stood up every single night, I've been coming to wajibah for 20 years, I can chill now. This is delusion. Rather, the Salaf, they used to be fearful of the actions being accepted. Then the Shaykh also mentioned that these people, they say, you have to leave off al-jihad. To be from the awliya, you have to leave off al-jihad. Again, as I mentioned, brothers and sisters, we are not apologetic about our religion. And what is mentioned in the Quran? Jihad is mentioned in the Quran, but it has a time and it has place and it's got conditions, it's got pillars, and so on and so forth. And at the same time, what ISIS are doing, it has nothing to do with our religion. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, كُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْعَبْدُ مَعْرِفَةً ازْدَادَ مَحَبَّةً وَازْدَادَ عِبَادَةً. Every time a person, he increases in ma'rifa, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will increase in love. And the more he increases in love, he increases in what? Ibadah. The person that you love, you're going to be chasing after him all the time, right? You want him, you want to see him, you want to be with him, because you love him. Like the girl that you love. You got married right now, honeymoon period, you want to be with her every moment of the first couple of weeks. As soon as that couple of weeks is there, you're back to your friends. You love that person. And this is exactly, if you feel like you don't like doing ibadat, then brothers and sisters, there's a problem. Then you really need to suspect your love and how much you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the scholars, they give a lot of time to aqidah. Learning the names and attributes, it makes you conscious of Allah azza wa jal. To really know Allah azza wa jal. The more you know Him, what happens? You increase in love. The more you increase in love Allah azza wa jal, what happens? You increase in ta'at lillahi azza wa jal. So هذه من الطاعات. Also from the alamat, mahabbati Allah is al-jihad, as we mentioned. So here in this verse, sorry? Is this a lesson or a market? It's a lesson, right? Jazakallah khair. طيب. And again, brothers and sisters, you know, from the alamat, mahabbati Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adabin aleem, tu'minuna billahi wa rasuli wa tujahiduna fi sabilillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, shall I show you of something of a tijara, as a business, that is going to save you from the very painful punishment? Tu'minuna billahi wa rasuli, you believe in Allah and His Messenger, and also jihad. And again, I mentioned that the jihad is a haqiqah. But, نعم. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a very important point. He said, "من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث نفسه مات على شعبة من النفاق." Whoever now dies and he hasn't, you know, gone out in an expedition and he never informed himself about going out for jihad, مات على شعبة من النفاق. He will die upon a portion of a jihad. He will die upon a portion of a nifaq, hypocrisy. It's part of our religion. We want to protect our religion. And the jihad is a form of protecting your religion. Al-Asr al-Sadis and the last point, inshallah ta'ala, of this kitab. Tafadhal, Muhammad.
Al-Asr al-Sadis, radd al-shubahat al-lati wad'aha al-shaytan fi tark al-Qur'an wa sunnah wa itba'i al-ara' wal-ahwa' al-mutafarriq al-mukhtalifa wa hiya anna al-Qur'an wa sunnah لا يعرفهما إلا المجتهد المطلق والمجتهد هو الموصوف بكذا وكذا أوصافا لعلها لا توجد تامة في أبي بكر وعمر فإن لم يكن الإنسان كذلك فليعرض عنهما فرضا حتى حتما لا شك ولا إشكال فيه ومن طلب الهدى منهما فهو إما زنديق وإما مجنون لأجل صعوبة فيهما فهمهما فسبحان الله وبحمده كم بين الله سبحانه وشرعا وقدرا خلقا وأمرا في رد هذه الشبهات الملعونة من وجوه شتى بلغت إلى حد الضروريات العامة ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشره بمغفرة وأجر كريم آخره والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين.
And last but not least, the final foundation principle that was mentioned in his book أصول الستة, which is the sixth one, رد الشبهة التي وضع الشيطان, to rebuke the doubt that the shaitan placed amongst the people. What was this doubt that he placed amongst the people? في ترك القرآن والسنة واتباع الآراء والأهواء المتفرقة المختلفة. To leave of the Quran and the Sunnah and to follow opinions and also desires. To follow what? Opinions and people's desires. Different types and its forms. وهي أن القرآن, look how the shaitan entered upon them. That the Quran and the Sunnah لا يعرفها إلا المجتهد المطلق. And that the Quran and the Sunnah, nobody knows it except the jurist who is so absolutely qualified. Like the Qadi who sits in the judge, as a judge, who sits in the courts. Only he knows how to use the Quran and the Sunnah. So we need to kind of just follow people's opinions and leave of the Quran and the Sunnah for the scholars. والمجتهد هو الموصوف بكذا وكذا. And they start giving characteristics and descriptions to this mujtahid, this absolute qualified jurist, that yani characteristics that you wouldn't even find in Abu Bakr and Umar. Type of description they're going to give to this person, you wouldn't even find in Abu Bakr and Umar. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ الْإِنسَانُ كَذَلِكَ فَلْيَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمَا فَرْضًا حَتْمًا لَا شَكَّ وَلَا إِشْكَالَ فِيهِ وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْهُدَى مِنْهَا فَهُوْ إِمَّا زِنْدِيقٌ وَإِمَّا مَجْهُولٌ لِأَجْلِ صُعُوبَةِ فَهْمِهَا فسبحان الله وبحمده كم بيّن الله سبحانه شرعا وقدرا. And whoever tries to go after guidance, which is the kitab and the sunnah, أليس كذلك, that's guidance. This person is either a zindiq, يعني a munafiq, وَإِمَّا مَجْنُون, or a person who is crazy, because of the difficulty in understanding these two. I'm just going to, inshallah ta'ala, move into explaining the first part. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand that this Quran has been sent to all of mankind. This Quran is not just for a scholar. It's not just for a talib ilm. It's not just for a faqih, a jurist, when he derives his ruling in order to judge between the people. Rather, this Quran has been sent to every single person to read and try to understand. And the shubha that the shaytan put down is to kind of disconnect the people from the Quran. Because brothers and sisters, the moment you become disconnected from the Quran, this is the beginning of your destruction. That's exactly what the shaytan wants. Because if a person doesn't have knowledge, how will he worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can he worship Allah subhanahu without the textual evidence from the Quran, the Sunnah? He can't do that. So this is exactly what he wants. The moment you get ilm, you know how to stay away from these doubts. You know how to stay away from these cursed doubts that the people of doubts and desires are going to bring. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? And it also prevents you now from shahawat, desires. It assists you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah Al-Qamar 4 times, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ, and we have certainly made the Quran easy for you to remember. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ, is there anybody who's going to remember it? Use it as remembrance. Can you see now how this is now yasir? It is easy for everybody to kind of like try to understand. The people themselves, they made it difficult among themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells another verse, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ, a book that we send down to take the people out of what? Darkness into the light. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّي مِلَى سِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ, it was sent with a clear cut Arabic language. Doesn't require rocket science to understand it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, remind them, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. For me to use my intellect, brothers and sisters, over the Quran and the Sunnah is a very big problem. I'll ask you a question. You know your socks. Most people here are wearing socks, right? And we hold that position, that view, that if we want to make wudu, we wipe over it. Alayhis kadhalik? Huh? Na'am. Bala. Why are you wiping the top? Doesn't it only make sense to wipe the bottom? Because the bottom is that which gets dirty. Doesn't it only make sense, if I use my brain and my intellect, doesn't it only make sense that you wipe the bottom because the bottom is that which gets dirty? Why are you wiping the top for? Are you with me, brothers and sisters? If our religion, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قَالَ لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالرَّأِي لَكَانَ أَسْفَلُ الْخُفِّ أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ مِنْ عَلَى, had the religion been using your logic, yani solely building your religion upon using logic, then it would have been foremost to wipe the bottom of the khuf, because the bottom gets dirty and the top doesn't. وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يَمْسَوْ عَلَى ظَاهِرِ خُفَّيْ أَخْرَجَ بُدَوْ بِسَانِ حَسَنِ, but he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiping at the top and not doing the bottom. Also, you have Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions this in Daru Ta'arud al-Aql wa al-Naql. He mentions the example of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام he told his son, اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين. Get on the boat and save yourself. Get on the ship. We know the famous story of Nuh, right? Even the Christians, they tell us in our secondary schools, Noah. The Noah's Ark, everybody got on, all the animals got on, two from each pair, a pair from each animal. هكذا يخبرونك, صح? This is what they teach us. He told his own son to get on the ship and save himself. His son said, سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء. I'm going to get on top of the mountain, and because I get on top of the mountain, the water or the flood is not going to get to me. Try to use his logic over the wahi. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Try to use logic, right? Nuh is speaking out of what? He's speaking out of revelation. Allah is giving him revelation. And he's saying to him, oh son, do not be from the disbelievers. You're going to be destroyed. Get on the ship and save yourself. قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء. He tried to use his logic. نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لا عاصم اليوم. سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء. قال لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم. وحال بينهم الموج فكان من المغرقين. First statement was what? Was وحي. The second statement was what? Was رأي. Was your logic. Using your عقل. Giving preference to your aql over the naql, which is the textual evidences. وَحَالَ بَيْنُهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. And the ending result was what? That he was destroyed. Min, you know, a very beautiful benefit that he mentioned in his kitab, Daru Ta'a. And then he says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ قَدَّمَ عَقْلَهُ عَلَى نُصُوصِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ غَرِقَ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ بِحَارِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْبِدَعِ. Anybody who gives logic presence, he gives his logic precedence, and he gives, and he wants to push that forth over the textual evidences that are authentic. This person will drown in dhulumat, in the darkness of the oceans of desires, and also the oceans of desires, and also bid'ah wa dhalalat, innovations, and also what? Misguidances. The moment you try to tell your logic, or my logic thinks better, and you put the Quran and the Sunnah to the side, you are going to be swimming and drowning inside innovation and misguidances. This is the Tijijah. And the Shaykh here tried to, you know, bring this example. Then he said, وَمَنْ تَعَوَّدَ مُعَارَضَةَ الشَّرْعِ بِالْعَقْلِ لَا يَسْتَقِرُ فِي قَلْبِ إِيمَانٍ. And whoever now becomes used to giving precedence to his aql, his intellect, over the textual evidences, they will reach a time where the iman, faith, won't remain in his heart. We mentioned at the beginning of the lesson, what did we mention? 10 different means of how a person now is prevented hidayah. How is prevented hidayah? And one of them is what? Ittiba'ul hawa. To follow your desires. Al-kibar as well. Arrogance. We're nearly finished, guys. Just a little bit more. والمجتهد هو الموصوف وهي أن القرآن والسنة لا يعرفها إلا المجتهد المطلق. عفوا وهي أن القرآن والسنة لا يعرف المجتهد المطلق بكذا وكذا من الصفات. جيد. What is اجتهاد? اجتهاد, according to the scholars of أصول الفقه, brothers and sisters, is making utmost effort to seek the Islamic ruling of an issue. Sometimes an issue pops up. It's a contemporary one. The scholar, he, you know, gets his books and he tries searching and he tries to derive a ruling from it. And the people of al-ijtihad are three different categories. Al-faqih al-mujtahid al-mutlaq. Someone who is an unrestricted mujtahid. Where he is able to derive rulings, bring the ahadith and the ayat together. And then derive a ruling from it. Without blind following or following a position. He tries to derive the ruling from his own self. وَهَذَا كُلُّ مَنْ عُرِفَ بِالْإِجْتِهَادِ وَقُوَّةِ الْفَهْمِ وَالتَّبَحُّرِ فِي الْعِلْمِ الشَّرِيعَةِ وَلَمْ يَخْضَعْ لِقَوْلِ مُفْتٍ وَإِنَّمَا أَفْتَى بِمَوْجِبِ عِلْمِهِ وَمَا تَرَجَّحَ لَدَيْهِ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَقُوَّةِ وَتَتَبُّعِهِ لِلْمَسَائِلِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ سَوَاءً الطَّارِئَةِ أَوْ الَّتِي سَبَقَتْ فِيهِ الْفَتْوَى. So in summarization, I don't want to, you know, translate every single word. Is someone who has known to have quwwah, strength, and he has very in-depth understanding of the religion. And he's not somebody who looks at somebody's fatwa and just خلاص, just blind follows it. لا. People like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Kathir, you have scholars who are more contemporary, Shaykh bin Bashir al-Albani. Then the second type, now I'm not saying that the second type is lower than the first, لا. Al-faqih al-mujtahid al-mustaqil. A faqih, scholar of fiqh, who's a mujtahid and is also independent. وهذا يطلق أيضا على حقيقة المرتبة الأولى. Also the first group could be applied to. إلا أن أهل هذه المرتبة عرفوا بقواعدهم الخاصة. This group of scholars, they were known to have their own principles, like the four great أئمة. Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, they had their own principles. And what happened? These principles that was noted, scholars who came after them that followed their madhab, they use these principles to derive rulings from. And then the third one, al-faqih al-mujtahid al-muqayyad. وهو كل من أخضع فتواه لقواعد مذهبه. A person who follows a madhab, become firmly grounded in a madhab, and his fatawa, his deriving of the rulings, are built on the principles of this madhab that he's following. So the third one comes under the second one. So now I want to speak about, inshallah ta'ala, aqsamun nas, the different categories of people. And a ami, a common folk, should he blind follow? The people are of three types. First one, al-mujtahid, that which we spoke about. Thani, talib al-ilm al-mutamarris fi talib al-ilm. A student of knowledge who has spent a lot of time seeking knowledge, and he has the qudra ala tarjih al-masail. He has the ability to be able to outweigh the correct ruling from the masail that are in front of him. He's able to get the Quran and the Sunnah and choose which opinion is stronger. Even though he hasn't reached, لم يصل إلى درجة الاجتهاد. He hasn't reached the first category. الثالث العامي الذي ليس له عنده حصيلة من العلم الشرعي تؤهله للترجيح بين أقوال العلماء. Third category, brother, is عامي, a common folk. He's not a student of knowledge. And he doesn't have the ability to, you know, look at the different nusus, textual evidences. What is his responsibility? Allah says in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. So how do I go about asking? Do I say to that person, oh Shaykh, you know, give me your opinion on the issue. Tell me, what's your opinion on the matter? Imam Shawkani rahimahullah has got a very good speech on this. He says, أن من كان عاطلا عن العلوم الواجب عليه أن يسأل من يثق بدينه وعلمه من نصوص الكتاب والسنة في الأمور التي تجب عليه من عبادة ومعاملة وسائر ما يحدث له فيقول لمن يسأله علمني أصح ما ثبت في ذلك من الأدلة حتى أعمل به. He asked someone that he trusts with his religion, someone who is firmly grounded in his religion and trusts him. How does he ask him? He says to him, علمني, teach me أصح ما ثبت في ذلك من الأدلة. Teach me the most authentic and the most outweighed opinion from that which has become clear to you. You don't ask him, what's your opinion on the Shaykh? Rather ask the Shaykh, يعني, what's the closest with the textual evidences? Also what I want to mention, brothers and sisters, خطورة الإعراض عن النصوص. The danger of turning away from the textual evidences. And how the companions dealt with this kind of situation. If a person tried to make them follow a view that they felt wasn't in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. Or maybe it was more outweighed. This one was more correct. Because you find, brothers and sisters, we shouldn't defame. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a whole kitab, رَفْعُ الْمَلَامِ عَنَ إِمَّةِ الْأَعْلَامِ, where he lifts the blame on the great scholars as to why they may have derived their ruling and taken a weaker position. Sometimes a scholar, brothers and sisters, he takes the weaker position. It could be because at that time, he thought that hadith to be sahih. But then we realize after it is ضعيف. Maybe he didn't reach that hadith. And many other different reasons that the Shaykh he mentions. على كلٍ. when it comes to now blind following a position, somebody brings to you a hadith, says to you, Ya Akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, the messenger says this, but you say to him, no brother, I'm not interested, I'm going to follow my imam. This is what I'm trying to shed some light on. Hadith Ibn Abi Mulayka, anna Urwa ibn Zubayr qala li Ibn Abbas. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he said to Ibn Abbas, adhalalta an-nasa? He spoke to Ibn Abbas in such a way, have you misguided the people? So he said to him, wa ma dhaka ya Urayya, what's the problem? O Urayya, qala ta'muru bil umrati bi ha'ula al-ashr, you are commanding the people to do Umrah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. There's some scholars who believe that it was incorrect. Ibn Abbas and many other scholars, they feel that the more correct position is that a person is allowed to do it. وَلَيْسَتْ فِيهِنْ عُمْرَةً. So Ibn Abbas responds back to him and he says to him, أَوَّلًا تَسْأَلُ أُمَّكَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Ask your mom first. فَقَالَ عُرْوَةُ فَإِنَ أَبَا بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ لَمْ يَفْعَلَ ذَلِكَ. Look what he says to him. He brings the two greatest people after the messenger to walk on the face of this earth. He says to him, Abu Bakr never done it, Umar never done it. Why are you telling the people to do Umrah in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? فَقَالَ Ibn Abbas, هَذَا الَّذِي أَهْلَكَكُمْ. This is what destroyed you. وَاللَّهِ مَا أَرَى إِلَّا سَيُعَذِّبُكُمْ. I don't see. He swears by Allah, except that Allah is going to punish you a lot. إِنِّي أُحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَتَجِئُونِ بِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ. I tell you about the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then you tell me about Abu Bakr and Umar. I tell you about the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you tell me about Abu Bakr and Umar. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? He put Abu Bakr and Umar to the side simply because he knew the Prophet ﷺ done it. Even though they have a great manzila in our eyes. But even Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa Umar, if their statement, or they never done something, but the Prophet done something, are we going to act upon Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum? Now even a better example. Why? Because this is family related. And sometimes a person, he does something because what? His family is upon it. عن سالم عبد الله أنه سمع رجلا من أهل الشام وهو يسأل عبد الله بن عمر. سالم بن عبد الله, he heard a man asking عبد الله بن عمر عن التمتع بالعمرة للحج. We know that Hajj is of three types, right? قران, تمتع, and إفراد. تمتع is to combine between the actions of Umrah and the actions of Hajj in the same period. And you are allowed to do تحلل in between. You're allowed to take your clothes off and then later on you go to Hajj. على كل فقال عبد الله بن عمر هي حلال. So Abdullah ibn Umar said to the Shami, this person from Syria, from Sham areas, it is something that you could do, it's permissible. You could do tamattu when it comes to Hajj. So the Shami, he said to him, إن أباك قد نهى عنه. Look what he says to him. Your father said you can't do it. Abdullah ibn Umar replies back and he says, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ أَبِي نَهَى عَنْهَا وَفَعَلَهُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَأَمْرُ أَبِي نَتَّبِعْ أَمْ أَمْرُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. If my father says something, but the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم done something else, are we going to follow the commandment of my father or the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم? Are you with me, brothers and sisters? This is how they weighed the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes these muqallidin in the Quran, قَالُوا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَانَ عَلَى أُمَّةٍ. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought a religion to them, they said, our forefathers were upon it. You want to come and change my religion? And this is exactly the exact same words that is mentioned today. People who have been practicing an act for 30, 40 years, for a guy to come to them and tell them, uncle, yani, even in a nice way, you know, follow this, do this, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done this, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Also, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أَلَا فَلَا يُقَلِّدَنَّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ دِينَهُ رَجُلًا إِنْ آمَنَ آمَنَ وَإِنْ كَفَرَ كَفَرَ. One of you shouldn't build his whole religion blind following one person. If he believes, you believe. He disbelieves, you disbelieve as well. Then he said, فَإِن كُنْتُمْ لَابُدَّ فَاعِلِينَ فَبِبَعْضِ مَنْ قَدْ مَاتِ. If you must follow somebody, then follow somebody who has already passed away. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. For indeed the person who is living, he is not free from any fitna. How many people, brothers and sisters, do we know who were, yani there was a sheikh whose books were being taught in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's masjid while he was still living. Normally scholars don't do that. They don't teach the book of a person who's still living. But his books were being taught. What happened, brothers and sisters? He went to, I think, one of these European countries, and he saw pictures, or he saw these, you know, very white ladies, European ladies. He said, Allah will really punish these people? Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish these beautiful ladies? And he committed kufr like that. This was a sheikh, brothers and sisters. Take heed from this. A sheikh whose books were being taught. Again, I told you that before, women's a fitna, right? This fitna of women, it led him what? And yakfuru billahi azza wa jal. And also because, brothers and sisters, if a person died upon guidance, what happens? Khalas, yani, he can't deviate after his death. Can anybody like deviate after his death? No, khalas, khudi al-amr, his matter is finished. But the person who's still living, today he might be upon the sunnah, and then tomorrow what happens? He might become a musician. There was a guy who used to debate with Majid Nawaz, I forgot his name. No, Majid Nawaz from Quilliam Foundation, who comes all the time and he's got a lot of kufriyat, yani, nearly everybody, every citizen has just about said that this person has been ala kulin. There was this, I can't remember his name. Ala kulin, that's not a point of the matter. He used to come on Channel 4. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, he was coming on Channel 4. Debating with Majid Nawaz as to whether the religion calls to extremism or not. His videos are still out there. Guy who has a beard, who wears a hat, looks like a Muslim. Recently, there was a Facebook post where he said that he's basically left this occupation of calling to Allah and defending the religion. He's back in the bar and doing music. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers and sisters, كان يقول يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. Oh Allah, turner of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. None of us are safe. وإن الرجل لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبين الجنة إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها. A person, he keeps doing the actions of the people of the Jannah until between him and the Jannah is the length of an arm span. Very short distance. The decree overtakes him. He does the action of the people of the fire, enters into it. That's why one should always forget about us. The Prophet used to make that dua. He said, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ لِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَاخْبُضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مَفْتُونِينَ. If you want fitna for your abd, for your servant, then take me while I'm not trialed and tribulated. Corrupted. فمن ضل بعد ذلك ليس ضلالهم بسبب أن القرآن والسنة لا يفهمهما إلا المجتهد المطلق. And brothers and sisters, whoever now becomes misguided after all of these points that we mentioned, his ضلال, his misguidance is not because the Quran and the Sunnah cannot be understood. I mentioned earlier, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. We have made this Quran easy for a person to take remembrance out of. But rather it is due to him turning away from the verses. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسْيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهِ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوا وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقْرًا. Allah said in the Quran, who is more unjust than the one who turns away when the remembrance and the verses come to him? He turns away and then he leaves off. مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَهَا. He forgets about everything that his hands put forth. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً. We placed a covering on their heart. Why? Because he turned around. Which will now cause them not to understand. وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. If you call them to guidance, they will never ever be guided. I mentioned earlier, right, brothers and sisters, an intellectual, intelligent, articulate, someone who has a very well-educated academic background. He graduated from the greatest of universities on the face of this earth. You bring verse and ayat to him, doesn't understand it. Why does he understand and he's so intelligent? The mawani' that I mentioned right in the beginning of the lesson. Matters that prevent a person from being guided. The ayat came to you, turned around, you turned away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed a covering on your heart that would make you not understand. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse that the Shaykh he mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come into effect, but most of them, they don't believe. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we placed shackles around their necks. فَهِيَ إِلَىٰ الْأَتْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقْمَحُونَ. And they are to their chins, so they are with heads that are kept aloft. يعني they don't understand. And we have put before them a barrier and behind them a barrier. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And we placed a barrier in front of them and behind them another barrier. And they don't understand. They don't take heed. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنْذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Regardless of whether you call them, أَنْذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنْذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Or if you don't call them, they don't understand. This is the exact same thing that we was mentioning. You find many, many verses that around this ma'na. Allah says also, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنْ حَقَّتْ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Also you find that this is with the similar meaning. And also min babi at-tanbih, just also notifying us all, after everything that I mentioned about us being able to understand the Quran, that doesn't mean in any way that we go and understand the Quran with our own opinions. It's not my father's opinion, my sheikh's opinion. Rather, what we need to do is bring the understanding to which understanding? The understanding of the Salaf. And that we don't go against their ijma'. Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari like mentioned same thing. He goes, وَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَخْرُجَ عَلَىٰ قَوِيلِ السَّلِفِ فِي مَا أَجْمَعُوا عَلَيْهِ وَعَمَّ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ أَوْ فِي تَأْوِيلِهِ. Said the scholars have unanimously agreed that it is not permissible for a person to leave or to exit out of the statements of the Salaf in matters that they have agreed upon. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيْنَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Whoever opposes now the messenger, Allah Azza wa Jalla, and what the believers have agreed upon. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.